This episode is sponsored by Fringe Supply Company, and they sponsored the episode last week too. And last week I was so caught up in talking about my field bag, my knitting bag that I'm so happy with. And I was saying that it's about time they sponsored an episode because I've been spending so much money with them. They're you've been to their website. You've bought stuff from them too.
I have.
They are not a yarn store. They are like a knitter's supply store with these really beautiful curated items. Mm-hmm. Is that a way to describe it?
Yeah.
Like you see they don't carry like a bunch of scissors. They carry like a few scissors and they're all really special. They don't carry a bunch of yarn in bags. They carry just a few things and they're all curated and very special. Mm-hmm. So I talked about my field bag last time, but recently I also got the Leica Driftwood interchangeable needles and they are gorgeous mm-hmm. and they're really nice to work with. And also in my living room, you've seen my yarn pyramid mm-hmm. print. It looks like a food pyramid, but it's different fiber types of yarn. I love it. So I ordered the print and I had it framed and it's a big part of my living room decor. It kind of says what I do for a living.
Yeah.
But you've bought stuff there too, huh?
Yeah. And as we speak, I'm putting a bento bag on my wish list.
You were saying before we started recording, you wanted one of the bento bags. And I'm like, I thought, well, why isn't she buying one? And I said, Casey, just buy one. Just get one. They're cool.
I'm putting it on my Christmas list.
Okay, good, good.
Because people always still want to buy me stuff for Christmas, so.
That's good.
I know.
You probably get it from your mom for Christmas.
Yeah.
What color are you asking
for? I think I like the denim. It's like a chambray.
Yeah. There's also on the last page, there's one that's denim and stripes.
Cute.
You better look at that before you decide.
I know.
Anyway, I encourage you to check it out. They have a lot of cool stuff. If you're buying any kind of gifts for knitters, it's a really easy place to find very mm-hmm. cool things for knitters and not just knitters.
Not knitters.
And people who are not knitters, also, they use bags too.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, many thanks to Fringe Supply for sponsoring this show. We're glad to have them as a sponsor. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and please tell us where you're from. And this is episode number 77. So if you'd like to see the things we talk about in this episode, you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 77 where we will post the links and photos, whatever we end up talking about mm-hmm. in this episode. And Casey's nodding because it's true.
It is true. We don't lie.
We try not to. And this episode, we are going to get to some knitting questions, but we have more Ireland from Casey.
Hey, Ireland.
I don't even care what they talk about. You just bring us more Irish accent for this podcast, okay?
I'm just going to leave microphones next time I go and just make sure that we pick up voices.
Yeah, if you can just like leave microphones around Ireland and just have them uploading to the cloud. We can download it from here and just put it on the podcast.
We might do that.
Okay, anyway, what you actually did talk about something in this podcast with a person.
Yes.
So tell us.
So I went to This Is Knit, which is a yarn shop in Dublin, and I wanted to talk about...
This Is Knit? That's cute.
Yeah.
Is it like a play on This Is It?
I guess. And so I wanted to talk about like modern Irish knitting because last time we talked about the traditional Irish knitting when I went in March and just see, you know, our modern Irish knitters still making Aran sweaters with cable knits and what's going on there.
Are they on the Ravelry trend, whatever?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So let's listen.
My name is Lisa. I'm one of the owners of This Is Knit, a yarn shop in Dublin, Ireland. And we're...
That's everything.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I am Lisa's little sister. I came along to the business a little bit later, but I hand-dye townhouse yarns.
So how long have you all had the shop? And tell me a little bit about the shop and the history here.
So the shop began as a little market stall and an online shop back in 2006. So we're 11 and a half years in business. So we've grown from quite small beginnings. And now we have this, we moved through the market stall to a little shop in that location, through and then moved into a small shop here in the city centre. And we moved again into this space, I think, about 5 years ago. So
tell me about the space. It's like an interior mall of sorts, but it looks like it has a little history to it.
It does, yeah. The Paris Court Townhouse Centre was the city residence of Lord Wingfield, who you may, people who visit Ireland may be familiar with Paris Court House and Gardens in Wicklow. So when they came up for when the family came for the political term, they would have stayed here and had their parties. And there's a lovely ballroom upstairs, and there's a grand staircase as you come through. And they covered over what would have been the courtyard area, and turned all of the rooms into these beautiful shops that you have here today. And they actually, a fun fact that someone from the Georgian Society told me was that they used to store their fleeces from the Paris Court Gardens, from their stock down there, before they were exported on to mills elsewhere.
Well, there's a knitting history then. So I thought about reaching out to you about talking about the history of knitting in Ireland and what modern knitters are doing now, and just what do you see, and what do you think? Do you think that when we think of it in America, we think of the traditional Aran sweaters and fisherman's wool, but your store looks very similar to most stores that I see now. So let's just talk about where you see trends going and things like that.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of our customers would be, you know, we're all on Ravelry, we're all, you know, looking at the hot right now patterns and knitting the same things that many of your people around the world are. There is a move certainly to protect the heritage and the things that are seen as uniquely Irish in the knitting sphere, but also I think a push to modernise it, to take the traditional cable motifs but put them into more tailored garments, and to just make them maybe a little bit wearable. But there's definitely a love for cable garments, and certainly I think that the last season or two, the kind of oversize and, you know, more texture the better has been very popular.
And what about you? Tell me about your yarns and the things that you're dyeing.
So I started dyeing about just over 3 years ago, so 3.5 years ago, and it started very much of a, I want to give that a go. It was just a, what you probably thought, my sister and my mom probably thought, was a bit of a whim. I have been known for those, but no, I've become absolutely obsessed with doing it. And what started off as 2 bases is now 10, I think, last count. That's a scary thought. But a lot of, I like the merino cashmere nylon blends and anything with silk in it. Mm. So I like bright colours, and, you know, if you look at the range, it's all quite kind of happy and kind of bright, rainbowy.
Yeah, rainbowy.
So I saw that you all are hosting a festival. So tell me about that.
We're really, really excited about this because it's something that we started off saying, okay, you know, Dublin needs a festival, and let's put something together. But we'll start small and we'll see how it goes. And from our initial plans to start small, it's just grown and grown. And it's we can't get over the names of the teachers that are coming to do workshops there. We have Nancy Marchant and Louisa Harding and Isabel Kramer and Yustler Kaustren, Kerry Westerman. It's all on the website, woolen.com. And we're going to have an amazing array of vendors, and it's just going to be a fantastic weekend. It's all happening in May next year, the 25th to the 27th of May. I should know this at this stage. And there's a lot of work going on in the background, laying around preparation, but it's really going to be worth it. It's going to be great.
So do you mean to tell me that there's not been a big yarn festival in Dublin before?
No.
That's amazing.
We have something called the Knitting and Stitching Show, which I suppose at one point in time had a lot more knitting supplies, stalls and everything, but over time it's gradually just become more about
paper crafts
and fabric, mm-hmm. and, you know, cleaning products and things like that. So it has definitely been something Dublin's been lacking. I know there is one in Cork, and there a new one just started just last August up in the north of Ireland. Mm-hmm. But for Dublin, there's been nothing.
Wow.
So
that's really surprising. So tell me about the name Woolen.
So woolen, it's spelled W-O-O-L-L-I-N-N. So we came to that name by a very roundabout process. A whole bunch of knitters on WhatsApp kind of trying to figure out, okay, well, what do we want to say? And it has a couple of layers to it. It came about because we said we wanted to convey a sense of the community aspect of the festival, that we wanted to be bringing together, like, you know, just our the fantastic members of the community that we have. So the word Linn, L-I-N-N, is an Irish word, and it's used in lots of different contexts, but the one a lot of people would be familiar with is the phrase Is Féidir Linn, which means we can do it. So it does, it conveys that sense of togetherness and community. So we had woolen put together, and then when you say it fast, when you say woolen Dublin, it sounds like you're getting wool in Dublin. And what's the other pun? It's... Yeah, the woolen garments. Yeah, yes, that's it. So it's, yeah, it can be interpreted in many ways, but it's a bit of fun, really. Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to attend, are tickets available, or when do they go on sale?
Our workshop tickets are going to be going on sale on the 2nd of December, and you'll be able to get full festival access as part of your workshop ticket. And then the general festival admission tickets will be on sale early in the new year. We don't have a specific date for that just yet.
So do you have any other thoughts to share about Dublin or things I should see? Or?
Well, I think for people who are interested in craft and textiles, there's the museum up at Collins Barracks has a lot of exhibitions that cycle through the textile history in Ireland, and that definitely people find that very interesting. Mm-hmm. Jenny, you know that?
I did not know that.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to do on the next.
That's a particular interest, but there's lovely gardens and stuff. If you're just coming into Dublin, like there's places that are just a short hop away on the Dart as well, like Malahide Gardens, and there's so much to see.
Sometimes you just need to get feet on the ground and walk around. There's so many things that, you know, even the bus tours will miss. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't get everywhere. Mm-hmm. So just, I suppose, take the time just to take it all in, really.
And this area that we're in central Dublin is known as the Creative Quarter, which is very fitting. So there'd be some fabric shops in the area. There's a lot of really nice design stores where you can get just items, gift items or items for the home, and some really unique just young independent designer stores as well. So definitely something for people who are interested in craft and creativity.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you for your time and bringing me into your store. It's lovely.
Lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
Very cool. Once again, Casey.
Yay.
Is this your last Irish interview?
Yes, for now, until I go back again.
Until you go back again in 3 weeks. Until you move to Ireland.
Yes.
Well, Ravelry is alive and well all over the world, right?
For sure.
Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers your favorite step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. It's the holidays. Who wants to go to the grocery store? Not me. But I still have to get dinner on the table and feed my family. So HelloFresh makes that convenient for me by bringing dinner to my door. It's all there. HelloFresh does the shopping, the planning, and delivery, so all I have to do is cook and enjoy. Each box includes recipe cards with 6 easy steps to calm the holiday chaos. You can just adjust your schedule to meet your needs, because in between holiday parties and entertaining, you might have to skip a week. It's real easy to manage your deliveries on the website or the app. Sometimes I switch between the family plan, which has 4 meals, or the plan with 2 meals, depending on what our week looks like. Last week, I made this honey glazed pork loin with sweet potatoes and green beans, and my 12-year-old walked in and said, "That looks really good." He ate it all up, plus what his little brother didn't finish. So that's a good sign to me that this is working for our family. I'm looking at a list of their holiday menus, and it includes figgy pork tenderloin with green beans and rosemary potatoes, butternut squash and sage risotto with parmesan and pepitas. Yum. So give it a try. You can save $30 off your first order if you go to HelloFresh.com and enter the code VERYPINK30. That's HelloFresh.com, and the code is VERYPINK30.
Okay, let's go ahead and get into some knitting questions.
Okay. Hello, I've been listening to your podcast since you started recording them and I enjoy them a lot. My question today is about double-pointed needles. I know they come in different lengths. My Clover DPNs are all 7 inches. I was looking online at the Carbon's DPNs and they come in 6 and 8 inch lengths. Why are there different lengths? Why would you use a 6 instead of an 8? Thanks in advance for answering my question. I want to buy some additional missing sizes, but I'm not sure which length to buy. Barbara H. from Seattle, Washington. And San Miguel de Allende, Mexico.
You like good, my good Spanish? Job on the Spanish there. I can't correct you because I don't know how to pronounce things in Spanish either. Barbara, that's a good question. I get this question all the time because double-pointed needles do come in very different lengths. There's also, I can't remember the company that makes them. There's a company that makes sock needles that are like this long.
I have
long.
Some of those.
And what's the brand?
I don't remember. I think they're Clovers.
No, right. Mine weren't Clover. Mine were ebony wood. They were gorgeous. They were expensive. I had them like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But they're, I'm saying this long and I'm not describing in the podcast how long that is. Seriously, like 3 inches long. Uh-huh. They were so short.
Yeah.
And I snapped them almost immediately because you can't have size 0 wood needles without breaking them.
Yeah.
Some people prefer really short needles is my point, which is why I'm saying this. Now, people ask me, it's totally a personal preference thing, but I give them my preference. I always like to use kind of longer double-pointed needles, like 7 or 8 inches. I just don't want to worry about stitches falling off the end. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I have those, and I was just looking up on my Ravelry projects because I made a tiny turtle that was like 2 inches long.
Yeah.
And so it worked well for that teeny tiny
those
thing.
Those little short needles?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you want to look at my Ravelry, it's on there.
We're linking to that turtle.
It's
in
called
the show
Tiniest
notes.
Turtle.
Okay.
And so I think I bought those. I just bought them at like a Joann's or whatever.
Okay. And they were wood or metal?
I think they're wood. I'm pretty sure they're wood.
Okay.
But yeah, that's all.
I have to
say about that.
For socks, I like to use maybe 6 inches, and then for like the longer bamboo, yeah. I like to use 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I think I like to go with longer.
Yeah, I get nervous with the short ones.
I do too. But isn't it funny though? Because when I'm working on circulars, I always want to use the shortest circulars possible.
Yeah.
I mean, 9-inch circulars or 16-inch circulars or.
But they're not going to slide off.
No, you're not worried about things sliding off.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today's episode is sponsored by Storyworth. Are you looking for a great last minute gift for a person who has everything? I know I find that the oldest generation in my family is hardest to shop for. So let me suggest Storyworth. Storyworth was founded by a guy who wanted his dad to record all of his amazing stories. The family enjoyed the process so much that they launched this company so that other families around the world could share in this gift as well. So Storyworth makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their stories with weekly emailed story prompts, questions that you've probably never thought to ask. At the end of the year, they'll get their stories bound in a beautiful hardcover book. You can strengthen your family bonds and get to know your loved one in a whole new way. So you purchase the subscription for someone you love, and each week Storyworth will send them a new prompt in an email with a question about their life. They can reply to this email with their story, or they can record it over the phone by calling the Storyworth number. All stories are private and only shared with the family that you choose. So after a year, their stories are bound in a beautiful book. So I'm thinking about this for my father-in-law who loves to tell stories about his younger days and, you know, what life used to be like. But sometimes he tells the same story over and over and over and over again. So I think this would be great to give him some different story prompts to write about. So give this unique gift. Visit storyworth.com/verypink and you'll receive $20 off your subscription. That's storyworth.com/verypink for $20 off a subscription to Storyworth.
Okay. Dear Stacy and Casey, thanks for all your hard work in teaching us how to enhance our knitting skills and the way you encourage us to take on more advanced projects.
Is that what I'm doing?
I encourage the advanced project because I don't get the help emails that you
that's
do.
That's true. I always try to, that's a long discussion.
I'm just saying, go for it. I've been knitting for roughly 2 years now and I'm still enjoying doing it. My stash is full of yarn I got from a friend and I decided to make some scarves with it. I started with a fewer garter stitch scarves, but I wanted to start to spice things up a little. Your fisherman's rib instruction video immediately got my attention. I started knitting accordingly, but then I thought, I will knit a long flat rectangular and afterwards I will sew the ends together using mattress stitch and I will make this a circular scarf. I've only seen this method used for sewing garter and stockinette stitch, so I was wondering if it's versatile and if mattress stitch can be used for rib stitch as well. Thanks a billion. Tristan from South America, now living in Amsterdam.
Yes. Tristan, that's a good question. Yes. Mattress stitch is usually the seam of choice for any knitted fabric. Usually, unless a designer is telling you to use something specific, very different, and there aren't really like a lot of other options. I mean, you can whip stitch things together, and that doesn't really look very good. And the Bickford seam does look really good and doesn't leave a ridge, but it isn't nearly as strong. The mattress stitch is the all-purpose seaming choice for knitters and knitting. You're nodding.
Mm-hmm.
Could you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use it all the time. Very, very rarely do I ever use anything other than mattress stitch.
Yeah.
It's magic. It works for everything.
Magic mattress stitch.
Yes.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. I have two completely unrelated questions for you. How do you organize your needles?
Should we answer that one first?
Sure. Yeah.
This is from Sharon from Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I use Knitter's Pride interchangeable sets, and they come in their own cases. But mm-hmm. for the needles I have that don't have their own cases, I have Delacq needle cases. And, the needles I have that are individual fixed needles mm-hmm. That never had a case. I use Delacq, like DPN case, Delacq circular needle case, and it's all arranged by size, and that's how I do it. But I know you have a unique organizing system.
I think we talked about this before. I do, most of mine are interchangeable sets, but then I do have loose needles. So I found this, I think it was for scrapbookers, and it's like an accordion file. And it has, I think, 10 file places, folders, I guess. And yeah. I just slip them all in there.
Do you have it labeled for what size they are?
I just count.
Okay.
And then there's a drawer. And if it's bigger than 10, they all go
they
in the
all
last
go in the
one.
Back, yeah.
And then there's a little drawer at the bottom. So any of my loose cables or whatever I can put in that little drawer.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's working well for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a paper accordion thing?
Yeah.
Or plasticky?
But, it's a hard cardboard outside.
Okay.
So it's sturdy. It sits up on a table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
It'll work.
Yep.
Her next question.
She has two, yeah.
Is there a way to frog the neck and first few rows of a top-down sweater? Many reviews of a current knit I'm doing suggested a few short rows at the beginning of the yoke. I decided to go with the pattern as is and regret not following the fellow knitter suggestions. If I frog it and knit backward, it would cause the V's to be upside down, I assume. Do I recast on as if to start a new sweater and somehow attach two rows of live stitches, one from the new sweater and one from the completed sweater minus the frog portion? Thanks for your help, Sharon from Long Island.
Oh, Sharon. I understand what she's asking. We're okay. I understand what she's asking, but she is just really trying to not have to re-knit this sweater. She read the notes and other people were saying to make this modification with short rows and she didn't do it. Now she wishes she did. To answer your first question, I have never successfully removed a cast on row. I just never, unless it was a provisional cast on. Yeah. What about you?
I don't know that I've ever tried.
I've never, there are people out there with YouTube videos. I've heard of people talking about it in yarn shops or saying, oh, I check out the cast on row and did this and this. I have never done it. I've never seen it done with my own eyes. I think it's El Dorado. It's something.
El Dorado.
Isn't that gold thing? Yeah, never mind. So I can't answer that part, but maybe you want to look for a YouTube video on that. But when you pick up the stitches, if you're able to get the cast on row out and you have live stitches there and you pick them up, yes, the stitches will be upside down if you just start knitting from that area. But if you, everything she said is right. I'm just kind of repeating back what she said.
Yeah.
If you do like recast on and knit up to that place, you can Kitchener stitch the whole thing together. You're really making me use my brain here today. You can Kitchener stitch the whole thing together where it's grafted together and you're not going to have a seam.
Consider it lesson learned. Next time, listen to the other people.
I would just wear the sweater without the short rows. You know what Elizabeth Zimmerman would say?
What?
Cut into the sweater where you wanted to add the short rows. Pick up the live stitches, back and forth, add your short rows, and then Kitchener stitch it back together.
Yeah.
Like, don't remove the whole cast on. Just, like Elizabeth Zimmerman in her show, she would just, like, take scissors. Oh, I want a pocket here. Snip, snip, snip. And
oh my
I'm
God.
Sure the whole audience is like, what? You're crazy. And then she just takes her needles and she, like, while she's talking on her show, her PBS show, she's, like, knitting a pocket. And she's trying to show people and tell them, it's like, you don't have to freak out about cutting your knitting.
Wow.
But actually, Sharon hasn't told us what this sweater is made of. But if it's a wool sweater, maybe she can just knit it and add the short rows. Wow. I would personally probably just rip it back. I like knitting. I'd want to re-knit with that beautiful yarn, whatever it was. I don't know. What would you do?
I would just go, oh, I should have done something different, but I just have a sweater and I'm going to remember next time to listen to other people on Ravelry.
Or maybe you could block the sweaters and just pull up on the back of it to add some length. Because those short rows she's talking about add the length to the back of the neck.
Yeah.
And you know what? We have a dog fight. It's about not a real dog fight. A dog. Can you hear it through your microphone?
Yes, you can.
So some dog horseplay going on.
So it's time for us to go.
It's time for us to wrap this episode up before.
We're not having a dog fighting ring on the side.
LB was chewing on his brother's neck, and his brother doesn't like it. Okay, Casey, if people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com.
Hurry.
The letter K, the letter C.
I'm kidding. Your website is kcknits.com. And you can find me online at the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel or at verypink.com. And that is all we have for this week. So until it gets really noisy in here, we'll see you next week. Stay warm, my friends.